All right. Well, if you thought my voice was boring earlier, then you're in for a great disappointment because you're going to have to hear it again for a little bit. Thankfully, it's not going to be as long. You know, as we were planning the service and we knew we had the kids program and then, you know, Reggie's communion, I knew he was going to take a little bit of extra time to help share, so I was able to trim down. And the church said, amen. And Adele really said amen. Adele, you don't have to be that excited. Kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. Just kidding. Awesome job, Reggie, and the communion message. Thank you so much. You know, you appreciate his humility because what Reggie didn't share is that he's an NBA basketball player. And it's very inspiring. I mean, it's inspiring when we find anybody that wants to serve God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's an amazing thing. You know, I played sports up into college. I dreamed about playing in the major leagues, but that just wasn't going to happen. But I know how hard it was to be a faithful disciple, even at a collegiate level. And to be doing what he is doing, to hear his faith and his testimony and how he is living with the life that he has is inspiring, bro. So thank you very much for your heart. You know, it really, I love how the Spirit moves, you know, because as Reggie shared in Hebrews 10 about how we, for those who have become true disciples, have already been made perfect through the blood of Jesus, I think it's going to really tie into the lesson that I have for you guys this afternoon. Before we do that, though, let's bow our heads with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much just for today, just the beautiful day that it is. So grateful that we have a place to be able to come worship. So grateful that we live in a place where we can do that freely, without worry or fear, and can just openly profess our love for you. God, I pray as we openly do that, we will also open our hearts to you. We'll open our hearts to your word and allow it to penetrate deep inside, to take root, so that you can grow in it and in us to be able to produce a harvest of righteousness. We love you, God. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, John chapter 15 is where we're going to be studying today. It's has to be one of the greatest passages in the Bible. At least it is for me. Now, that's hard to say, right? Because how do you say that there's a favorite in the Bible because it's all God's Word? So that kind of sounds a little bit odd. I think God understands what we mean. It's not like, you know, we have favorite children, right? We shouldn't do that. You know, Andrew, you're my favorite, or Ellie, you're my favorite. There's things about our children, though, that we love that are special and unique to our children. There's things about Ella that I love that are unique to her, maybe not to Andrew, that I love especially. And the same with Andrew. And that's, I think that's okay how it can be with the Bible. We can love things especially of the Bible, though we love it all together. John chapter 15 and verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. All right, that's the text that we're going to be studying out this afternoon. We're going to go back now. We're going to kind of break it down. We're going to stick here in John chapter 15. Jesus says that I am the true vine in verse 1 and 2, and that my Father, God, is the gardener. It says that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, it says he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus, he as he often did, speaking in parables or in analogies in ways in which it would make it very easy for his listeners to understand the spiritual point that he was trying to make, and so giving them something of in the physical realm that they could connect the dots with. And he uses this vine and a branch, this tree and branch analogy to describe what it's like for us. Now, as Reggie said in his communion, when we become disciples, when we come to faith in Jesus, when we put our hope in him, when we confess and we repent of our sins, when we get baptized for the forgiveness of our sins and receive God's Holy Spirit, and we come into that union, we've been made perfect, then what? What do we do with that? You know, it's kind of what Jesus is addressing here. He's addressing his disciples, his followers, people that either are or would come after him. People that either are following him or are listening to his message and considering what it would be like to follow. And Jesus says that, listen, if you are going to do that, understand what's going on here. He says, I am the vine. Okay? My Father is the gardener. Now, in a vine or in a tree, it says that he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. So it's easy to understand. You have a tree and you have branches. You have a trunk of a tree, and from the trunk you have branches that go off from the trunk, and the trunk goes down into the ground and it soaks up the water. The water runs through the tree that provides life as it goes out into the branches. You guys are following me, right? And so he says that he cuts off every branch that is not bearing fruit. Those that do, what he says, is that that he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now that word prune comes from the Greek word kathairo. And it means to, it's springtime, finally, thank God. You know, my wife and I, family, we moved up here last summer. We're from the South. It's been spring in Georgia for a couple of months. We're very excited, to say the least, to have days like today. But, you know, when you do spring cleaning, you get out and you kind of get the trimmers, the hedge, and you think of cutting. You do think of a lot of cutting off and removing things. And there's a part of that that is true in this word that Jesus used, but the Greek kathairo, there's many definitions. It talks about being pure, being clean, without stain, without spot, to clean off or to cleanse from filth. So what is dirty, we wipe off to clean, to make clean, purify, remove defilement or imperfections. Specifically here in John 15 verse 2, referring to the pruning of the vine by the gardener, is talking about fruit-bearing branches symbolize those persons who are genuinely and vitally united to Christ. Genuinely and vitally united to Christ. Now, if Christ is that vine, right, and we are the branches, what he is referring to is us who are grafted into that vine. That's who Jesus is referring to. Now that pruning is the cleaning off, the things that defile us, our sin, the impurities, the imperfections of our life. And we all have them. And so what Jesus is saying here is that for those who follow me, or for those who would follow me, understand is that there needs to be a fruitfulness that is born in our lives. By how we live, by how we act. You know, the Bible in James chapter 1, verse 22, and you guys have heard me repeat this several times recently, but don't just merely hear the word and so deceive yourselves, but to do what it says. That our life and action, our deeds, how we are living should be matching up with His word, and we'll talk about that more in just a minute. But so there should be a fruitfulness that's coming from our life. Now, though we have been made perfect through the blood of Jesus, we know that we are not perfect because we have a sinful nature and a flesh. But as we are continually trying to repent of our sin and continually trying to follow where there is good fruit, what Jesus says is that we're going to go through a pruning time in life where the dead leaves or the dead little twigs, a part of the branch, get kind of pruned away so that what can come back is even more fruitful. Y'all following me? Okay. The person, though, referring to those who are, it says, genuinely and vitally united with Christ. Now, for those of us, for members of the church and who are here on Wednesday night, you know, we talked about the church, right, and what it means. Now, again, it's referring to those who are genuinely united to Christ. Now, Christ is the head of the body, and the body is what? The body is the church. That's what the scriptures teach, that Jesus is the head of the church, which is His body. So if we are going to be genuinely claiming to be united with Christ, then there also is has to be a genuine and vital unitedness or unification to the body of Christ, which is His church as well. See, there's two things at play here. If we're going to remain in the vine, if we're going to continue to be perfect, to be presented as perfection like Reggie was talking about, we have to stay united with Jesus. We have to remain in Him. But what also has to happen is we have to remain united, genuinely and vitally grafted into His body. You can't be united to Jesus and not be united to His body, which is the church. It doesn't work. Right? And he goes on. In verse 3, he says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Now that word "clean" is very is closely related, similar to that word "prunes." It's the word "prunes" being "katharo" and "clean" being "katharos," and specifically here referring to in a spiritual sense from the pollution and the guilt of sin. So God prunes us, right, to help remove the imperfections and things. And he says in verse 3, though you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to, you're already clean. In a spiritual sense, if you are a true disciple, believer, and follower of Jesus, then you are clean, and that pollution, the guilt of sin, has been removed. You have been clean from that. We don't need to be walking around with a heavy, guilty conscience if we are in Christ, if we are in the vine. Now that's easier said than done for a lot of reasons. Some of us may by nature be guilty souls, and I am. So it doesn't matter what happens, I feel guilty about it and bad, and you know, when I was younger and more immature in college, I'd have seasons and cycles of my life where I would just question my salvation. You know, where I'd have my sin, and I would do everything I was supposed to do: confess it, be open, pray, ask God's forgiveness, you know, be active in repentance, and yet I'd still feel the weight and the guilt of sin. And I think in our younger ages and in our younger years, we in a more immature place in life, I think that guilt can weigh us down. That the lies and the deceitfulness of Satan, who is the great accuser, who is constantly trying to accuse, can weigh us down. And in doing so, effectively doing that long enough, what happens is we can begin to wither. And if we wither long enough and we become then detached, and that's what we're going to look at in a second, then we can become a branch fallen to the ground that dies separate from the vine. Now, if you aren't a true disciple of Jesus, then it should cause us to squirm a little bit uncomfortably in our seat. Or if you don't know, because and see, the Bible, God did not send His one and only Son to die on the cross for us so that we should be confused and not have a confidence about where we are. Now, if you are confident that you're not going to heaven today, but you want to, well, we can help with that, and we want to help you with that. But if you're not confident, you believe, but you lack a confidence, I think that's the worst place to be. And Jesus didn't die for us to lack a confidence of where we're at spiritually. He wants us to know. He wants us to be sure. And that cleanliness that Jesus is talking about, you are clean. If you have been forgiven of your sins, if you have been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, then you can have that confidence that you have been clean, that you are clean, that pollution, the guilt of sin has been washed away. Verse 4, Jesus goes on and He says, "Remain in Me. Remain in Me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me." Now that word remain, it comes from the Greek meno or meno. To remain, to abide, to dwell, to endure, to last, to persevere, to stand firm, to wait for, to hold out, to wait on, to be patient. These are all many definitions from that Greek word of what it means to remain. Jesus says, "Remain in Me and I will remain in you." Jesus being the vine, the church being Jesus' body, as I said a minute ago, it is important equally for us to be pursuing our relationship with Jesus. And why, after when we first moved up here, did we take, you know, the first many months of really digging into the Scriptures and uncovering, you know, hidden truths about who Jesus is, about His character, about His personality, understanding how Jesus could be this playful best friend while He can also be Lord, not can be, He is, whether we accept Him or not, He is Lord. Whether we accept Him as Messiah, being Savior, He is. But He's also can be a playful buddy. And if you were here and you remember the Scriptures, the playful interactions that He had with Peter and John, the different disciples. But why, there's what we get too often in church, like when we just show up and sit in a pew, like we are right now, we get a very, very basic surface level. You know, when boats sail, you know, through the Arctic Oceans, right, and they see tips of icebergs, but if you've ever seen these pictures that kind of can show a distance of both what's underneath and above the water, it's amazing because the tip of the iceberg, though it may be huge, it's massive underneath. The greater, the bulk is underneath the surface. What we get with Jesus on a Sunday morning is it's just the tip of the iceberg. Uncovering the truth about His character, about His personality, about who He is as a man, about the relationship that you and I get to have. That's all under the surface, and that takes work. We can't be lazy Christians. Otherwise, we're just going to... It only hurts us when we just kind of sit around and accept what the iceberg when there's so much more. And that's why we spent so much time. You hear me, you know it. If you've been around, I talk about Jesus more than I do anything else. I talk about the Holy Spirit, right? Which is one of the manifestations. Because knowing Him is knowing all that we need to. And if remaining in the vine, if knowing Jesus helps us to remain in the vine, well, that's what continues to assure us of being, continually being made perfect. But we also have to remain in His body. As I said a minute ago, we can't, there is no remaining in Jesus and not remaining in the church. because the church is his body. Jesus is the head. And so we can't do it on our own. You know, if you don't have people in your life that are helping you to walk that narrow path, if we don't have people in our lives that we can go to and confess our sins to, or that we have people that can see our sin, that see, I love the point that Reggie made, you know, character is what God sees, our reputation is what everybody else sees. But we should have people that see beyond our reputation and really know who we are. That's why it's very wise to marry right. Marry carefully, because if you marry carefully and you have a deeply spiritual husband or wife, they can see beyond the facade of the outside. They can see the true character on the inside. And that's why I love my wife so much. Why I married the best in the world. Sorry for everybody else. Hopefully you say the same thing about your wife, and I'm sure that's true for you. But Kristen, she helps me get to heaven. She helps me remain in the vine. She loves me so much, but more than loving me, she loves Jesus more than she loves me. And there's not been a day of our marriage that I have not been very confident of that. That she would kick my tush to the street if I decided that God was not important anymore. Or not that he wasn't important, that he just wasn't the most important thing in my life. And then would start making stupid decisions. And the reality is, guys, I've made, as a husband and a father, a lot of stupid decisions. I have sinned greatly. I have hurt my wife. I've hurt my kids. I've hurt my friends. But she is there to see it. And she calls me on it. And because of that, she has helped me remain in the vine. She is a part of Jesus' body. I need her. I also have friends scattered out all over the country who know me, who have been able to help me stay in the vine. Though Jesus, he is the life, he is the life source, right? He is the tree, he's the vine, we're the branches, but a part of all of that is his body. And if I didn't have friends, a part of his church scattered throughout that know me and call me on my bluffs, you know, that can hear my tone of voice, that just know somehow the right time to call and ask how I'm doing, and I can be honest and they can tell me what they think and see, I wouldn't be here either. You know, we need that. If you don't have that, you know, I know that that is what we're working here at the Fort Wayne Church of Christ. That's what we're trying to create. That's why we talked about it on Wednesday. That's why we're going to talk about it again on Wednesday. That's why we've been talking about relationships and the body ever since we got here, because it's important. Because we won't make it. You won't make it without. You know, if you're not a member of the Fort Wayne Church of Christ, but you do go to church somewhere, I want to challenge you to think and consider, who knows me in my church? Do I experience what that, you know, that boring guy's voice is saying? Do I experience that where I go to church? You should. And if you don't, let it drive you to some time of consideration. And either figuring out how that needs to be created, or whether or not that situation is helping you be grafted in to the vine. I'm not condemning any churches. I'm not elevating one over another. I am only elevating Jesus' church, he being the head. So as long as we're a part of doing his will and holding to and obeying the word of God. But if you don't feel that, that should cause concern. You should be concerned about what you're experiencing. Because you should come to church and feel that. You should have relationships that know the intimate details of your lives and holding you to it. Not just knowing it and saying, man, been there, bro. And y'all wallowing together in your sin and self-pity. But ones in which, hey, bro, yeah, I've been there. And that's not a place you want to be. You need to repent and we calling one another out. Verse 5, Jesus goes on again, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, apart from me. You know, how easily we forget how fruitless and unproductive our lives were before we came to faith, before we had our Damascus Road experience, before we met Jesus, before somebody sat down and stuck. There's a reason that you made that decision, if you're a disciple, that you made the decision to be a disciple, because you looked at the fruitless deeds of your life. You looked at the emptiness. You felt that emptiness. You looked at the unproductivity of your life and said, boy, this stinks. I'm not happy. And we can all put up that facade. We can put on our Sunday best, and I could have worn a coat and jazzed it up a little bit. But we can on the outside appear awesome, but on the inside, and that's what Jesus warned about, we can be full of dead men's bones. You know, we can be the cup, the dish that has the exterior appearance of, wow, that's shiny, that's a nice toy, but on the inside, you know, we're missing, right? And that's what we want to avoid. Proverbs 26 verse 1 talks about a dog returning to its vomit. And the folly that it is that when we act like that. And that's what I mean. You know, when Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, when there was a point in time when we believed that, we accepted it, and we know, yeah, because up to my entire life up to this point, I've been apart from Jesus, and my life has not yielded the fruit that I was hoping for. So let me dive into Jesus. Let me get grafted into the vine. But what we do, like dogs returning to their vomit, is we forget. And we start returning to our old ways of life. The same character, bad habits we allow back in, how easily we forget. Jesus, that's why he says, again, over and over and over, we got to remain. It's a conscious thing. It's an action verb, right? It's something that you aggressively have to do. You have to be purposeful and intentional about it. In verse 7, he goes on saying, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I love that last part in verse 8. If you remain in me, verse 7 and 8, if we remain in Jesus, he says, ask whatever you want. Ask what you want. I'm going to do it. And the reason I'm going to do it is to bring glory to the Father, so that God may be glorified. You know, the abundance of God's provision. You know, the access, our access to the storehouse of His blessing, it's at our fingertips. It's right there. We have every right to claim those things as a child, as a member of God's family, as a member of His household, if we faithfully remain in Him. We have to remain in Him. How do we do that? Actually, how do we do that? That's great. You're talking a lot about this remaining, but what do I do? How do I do that? Jesus, thankfully, explains. And He doesn't leave us in confusion. In verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain. If you obey me, you will remain in me. It's simple as that. Obedience to the Word of God, that's how we remain. It's reading it, knowing it, and then doing it. Don't just hear the Word and so deceive yourself. We got to do what it says. It's not a complex formula. You know, it doesn't take rocket science or the size of the brain to understand rocket science. To know how to remain in Jesus. He says that if you obey my commands, you will remain in me. You will remain in my love. Obedience to the Word of God. You know, now, if you don't read your Bible and you don't know what's in there, how in the world can we confidently stake a claim to being in Him? That's like going to Vegas and putting all your chips on a game that you don't even know how to play. You're just rolling the dice hoping you get lucky. And that would be unwise and actually foolish. And so much so because He gives us the answers. He makes it very clear and obvious. Jesus is the ultimate best professor. I had a macroeconomics teacher in college, and he was awesome. And the reason he was awesome is because, you know, we'd come, we'd sit, he'd teach, you'd listen, and then when it came test time, he would hand you a test bank, 250 questions. And the answers are right. They're all multiple choice. And we'd go over them, so you have all the questions, you have all the answers. It's just simply a matter of knowing the material. And I did awesome on those tests, I tell you what. Now, it was up to, but I had to put in the effort. It's all there. That's Jesus, he's the macroeconomics teacher. Here's the test bank. Here's everything that you need to know. Everything that you need to know, it's right here. The Bible says that he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. How do we remain in the vine? Here's the test bank. Just know me. Just know me. Know the church. Remain in me. Remain in the vine. And here it is. But this is an active participation sport. Right? This is not sideline stuff. I think I mentioned that on Wednesday night. You know, I could claim to be an NBA player like Reggie is. Right, but if I actually don't play, my claim is it as of no value. Yeah. Right, it's pointless, fruitless, it's worthless. You know, I need to be doing it. And I think Jesus makes it simple. He said, here it is, this is what you need, go do. Lastly, John 14 and verse 6 to close out. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. We sing a song that talks about that. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. My singing voice, is it any better than my boring preaching voice? Paul, don't laugh so loud. That's not nice. Come on, man. Jesus is the only way. You know, we can't let ourselves be deceived. There is no access to the Father. And where is He? Where is God right now? He's in heaven. And so if there's no access to Him, because that's what He said, we don't get to the Father, which is in heaven. He is in heaven. We can't get there if we don't go through Him. By any means except Jesus, we're going to fall short. It doesn't mean that we can't live a good life. It doesn't mean that we can't be a good, upstanding citizen, a moral person. You know, good values that people in the world around us would admire and respect. But unless we remain in the vine, we can't have confidence. But Jesus wants us to have that confidence. So I want to encourage us today that, you know, wherever we are, dig in the Word. If you obey my commands, that's how we remain in Him. If you're visiting, I want to encourage you to reach out to whomever invited you, you know, and ask more questions or ask to study the Bible. And so that you can have that peace and that confidence that we remain in Him and that we access the Father through Jesus. Amen. We're going to close out with one final song, and then we will be dismissed.